Hello, Sark. I'm really excited about having you on the show today
Oh,
because
and thank you for having me on, Lisa.
absolutely, I am a huge fan. I have been reading your books for a long time. What would I say? Experiencing your books for a long time. And so share your story with us about how you got started with all this. I had you on previously when I had the Aware Show on another station, so I'd like all of our new listeners to get to know your magnificence as a human being, which you proclaim in the book. What do you say that we're splendidly imperfect?
Yes, let's make sure that they know how imperfect I am. I'm so imperfect that I had to write a whole book about that subject.
About how imperfect you are.
Well, yes, and also how much I'm transforming and how much we all are transforming. And it's so obvious, yet we forget. And we think we just stay the same, but we're literally transforming every minute.
You know, it's kind of refreshing because there's a lot of books out there that talk about, you know, self-help and what you can be and visualize this and do that. And there's not a lot of books that really make light and the humor and the artwork that you use to celebrate imperfection.
Yes, and it's also my sly
Thank
trick. To get people to read about darker subjects if they read it through color.
In a humorous way. Yeah, some of those 10-step books can be very hard to read.
Well, I just, you know, it's funny. I've been realizing that a lot of my influence was growing up reading and loving comic books. And comic books, really, there's a lot in there. And the marriage of the visual and the words really affected me. And so, of course, my books are very visual, and I think that's why. Isn't that funny? Like when you look back at earlier influences.
You know, I always say when you go back to your hobby and make that your career, you're in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. So how did you basically, you started off as an artist, is that right?
Well, I knew I was a writer when I was 5, and then I wrote my first book when I was 10.
What did you write about?
I wrote a book called Mice from Mars, which was a thinly disguised story, which really reflected what was going on in my family, which was, unfortunately, incest, sibling incest, to be more specific.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a mouse running away from a scary, you know, it was a mouse who came to Earth, and then who was running away from a scary, it was actually a garbage man.
Wow.
Because the mouse was, you know, trying to hide everywhere and ended up in a garbage can. And when I look back at that, it's so clear what was going on. And I wasn't able to reveal that to my family until my 30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, which is common with incest. So I write about that and talk about that because I'm committed to speaking to really assisting anyone who might be listening, who might be working with incest themselves or sexual abuse, or because it's the shame and the secrecy that keeps it going.
Yeah, it is the secrets, and it's a good way, especially to look at them with a little bit of humor, because it can get really, really serious.
Mm-hmm.
Most with any type of emotionally traumatic event, the energy is heavy.
Yes, and let's say too, humorous is a word that some people might take offense to. So let's describe what we mean, because I think that I know what you mean, and I know that you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are people listening who might not know the work and mm-hmm. understand that it's not making light of, you know, it's not like making fun of dark topics. It's using a lighter touch to look at them, and that's where the humor comes in. I would say it's humor more than humorously.
That's a good point.
It's a very sensitive topic, you know.
You know, that's true. I actually forget about the fact that I've been taught to laugh, to get myself out of the most stuck situations. Sometimes if I just find myself laughing at the ridiculousness of myself or whatever it is I'm stuck on, it lifts the energy, it shifts something, it changes something, and then I find that that actually has helped me.
Yes.
But
yes, however, I'm sure you know about the danger of people who laugh because they can't cry.
True.
You know what?
Yeah.
I had actually a partner like this, and it was really hard for me because I would say it's not funny. And he was determined to make a joke or to make it light, you know, in my opinion, all too often.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Yeah, that's very true. There's definitely a fine line there.
Yeah. I mean, humor can be a defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that I laugh often when I'm most nervous. And what if we were just nervous?
Yeah, that's a good point. I've had that habit of, as well, as laughing when I'm nervous, just to kind of, you know, out of embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
and not feeling it. But, you know, there's a certain point where you've felt enough pain and you really want to shift.
Yeah, well, and there's times to take a break from pain. And that's the part where people get attached to struggle and pain. And that is something that I like to speak about. And also that I want to honor the pain by acknowledging it and talking about it instead of trying to self-help it, you know? I mean, there are things that are just painful, and that's how they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes people get the wrong impression. My books are very colorful. They're hand-drawn. They're hand-lettered. They look almost childlike. They say, oh, well, we know you take a light look at everything, or, you know, we know there's a positive spin on all of this. And I'm like, no. Some of the stories have bad endings, and some of the things don't work out.
Yeah.
And let's honor those, too. And let's not just try to rush to the beautiful day. There's the days that are so pathetic, and we need to talk about those, too.
You talk about some healing disasters.
Oh, yeah, healing's gone wrong. All the things I've done try to heal that have made myself worse.
I was compelled by that chapter.
I know. A lot of people are. Did you like the part where the woman tore where she put that stuff on me that was burning me?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you were having a massage, and she had these great, toxin-releasing ointment she put on your back.
Yes.
And you had an allergic reaction.
Yes. And so she was saying, you might feel a slight burning. I'm like, I'm feeling a burning. I'm feeling a really big burning.
I'm on fire.
And then there she was. You have a lot of toxins in your body. I said,
I love your reaction.
Yeah, I do not. What did I say?
You said something about, I don't have the toxins. I'm actually having an allergic reaction.
Yeah. And then I burst into tears. She was so scared.
She never had anybody cry in her massage table. Yeah. It's great you can laugh about this now.
I was proud to cry.
You say in your book, you make a plea for more tears, please.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I know that people don't cry enough.
Mm-hmm.
People are holding back tears. I know I say a lot, you know, we cry and then we apologize. We do. We cry, oh, I'm so sorry I'm crying.
Yeah.
As though that's an imposition. Yet our laughter, we don't say we're sorry for that. I really think there's such an unnecessary value judgment placed on tears, and there needs to be much less division. In fact, well, my goal is to begin to learn to cry as much as I laugh. And it's scary. It's scary to cry publicly. It's scary mm-hmm. to cry without notice. It's scary to show that to another person. And at the same time, there's a tremendous freedom. I mean, look at children.
A huge release happens.
Yeah, they just cry. They just cry all through the day.
And they let it go.
Oh, it's gone in a moment.
Right, right. The tears are done, and then the emotion is done.
Yeah, they cry, and then they say, but can I have a cookie and then go out and play in the sprinkler?
Right, right. It's the first thing that they do, and it's the last thing that adults do.
Yes.
We learned somewhere along that transition of adolescence it's not okay to cry anymore.
Well, it wasn't okay.
Mm-mm.
We were ridiculed and made to...
Cry baby, you know, cry baby. Yeah,
cry baby and all the other things. And vulnerability and... well, you know, those little... I call them inside children. Those inner children are still in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, they're crying.
Yeah, that
and
was...
And we need to be the nurturing parent that can let those tears... happen.
It's a fine line here too, Sark, and I'm sharing this experience with you because it reminds me of what you're talking about. I was at this service the other day. It was a conference that was going on, and it was really uplifting and inspirational, and so the vibration was really high. The energy was really great, and for the first time, I sat in this experience without pain releasing from my body without massive tears rolling down my face. I finally sat in this experience with joy and upliftment in my heart. And I know that there are a lot of people who have spent a lot of their lives in pain and crying. And it is nice to be able to have the tears, but also to have a place for the tears and also give yourself permission to feel the joy.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, thanks for bringing that up, because, you know, I would say there's, I don't even know, you know, it's interesting, it's, you know, it's paradoxical. It's like, as much as I'm saying let's cry more, I would also say let's not be as attached to our suffering.
That's kind of what I was saying. It's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Everything's a fine line.
I know.
We're just walking around on all these fine lines. I have fine lines at the corners of my eyes, by the way.
They represent what we're walking on.
Fine lines.
It's true. And here's an example of for the listeners. In your book, you would write these little fine lines all over the page. I love that.
Or did you like the drawing of my crow's feet have a heavier step? I drew that crow, the large crow. With
yes, the
big
large
feet.
Or you were talking about your body and you were saying, my lumpy body, and you just wrote this great little lumpy body, and you said, I love my lumpy body.
I know. Someone just called me and said that they just said, I just, for anything else, I have to thank you for the little lumpy body you drew in this book.
You know, it is a really neat little lumpy body, because we all have our certain images of ourself, and you disclose your body image in the book, and how you have been through your ups and downs with your body image.
And still am.
Yeah, and we all are. In any place that we're in, I don't know if we can live in this society with the media that hits us on a daily basis and not question our body image.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have these little images of ourselves, and the picture of the lumpy body was a great image. That's kind of what your books are like. They're playful, and they really, just the colors inspire creativity and thought process,
yeah,
which is a healing in itself.
Well, I'm convinced that adults need more color. Color was taken away from adults, do you know? And children are given color, and then when you reach a certain age, you're somehow moving into a black and white world. And I'm against it, and I have a mission to bring color back to adults.
I guess you do. And why did we lose the color?
Well, I think it's considered childish. You know, people often see my books and say, oh, these must be children's books. And I say, well, what, do you have any idea why you think that? And they say, well, look how colorful they are. And I say, well, do you have memories of color as a child? Oh, yes, I miss it. I had my mat in kindergarten, and it was purple and blue, and you know, I start naming colors. And then look at our executives that walk around. What are they wearing?
Gray. Black, yeah.
Gray and black. And look at our power suits are black. And, you know, thankfully now that's really starting to shift. I mean, it's really exciting now to see in the dental offices and medical offices that everything is turning into jewel tone colors. I mean, they're starting to understand that people's spirits and souls are uplifted by color.
It's part of the healing that we're moving towards.
Yeah.
Now, you've written all these great books, the Succulent Wild Woman, Bodacious Book of Succulents, which I love, and I love this title, Change Your Life Without Getting Out of Bed. That's a great title. What is different about your latest book, Transformation Soup? How is it different from the other books?
Well, it's dedicated to healing, and it's dedicated to all the... I realize that my entire life has been about healing. So just the examination of my own healing processes, and then, of course, sharing all my healing... I shared many of my healing mentors. And so, and every book I admit more things. I'm always saying, well, I'm not going to talk about that. There's no way I'm writing about that. I say that every time.
Oh, really?
And then there's always something deeper and more. So in that sense, it's a more self-revealing book.
You write a lot about your own healing process, about your own experiences. Does this help you to share your process with the world?
Yes.
It does.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't do it otherwise.
It's a healing for you.
People say to me, oh, you give so much. And I might, you know, I certainly give as much as I'm able, but that isn't, it's transpersonal. I mean, it transcends me. I mean, it's, as I'm doing any kind of sharing that might help another heal, it's absolutely helping me to heal.
Mm-hmm. Give a healing, get a healing.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Okay, Sark, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk a little bit about the fun drive for just a minute.
Okay.
I've been speaking with inspirational author Sark. She's the author of Inspiration Sandwich, Succulent Wild Woman, Living Juicy, Transformation Soup, all sorts of great books that combine Sark's really whimsical, fun, colorful drawings and empowering insights to create by. We'll be right back. I'm Lisa Garr, and you're listening to Aware on KPFK. Welcome back to Aware. Hi, I'm Lisa Garr, and I have been speaking with inspirational author Sark. She's the author of all these great books that we are we're talking about, Succulent Wild Woman, Living Juicy, Transformation Soup, with these wonderful, colorful, whimsical drawings that also have insights to live by, very empowering insights to live by. You talk in your book, in your healing process, the Transformation Soup is really talking about the healing that we're experiencing in, you know, this new decade. And a lot of the healing books that we've talked about on the show are also in alignment with these theories. You mentioned listening to the messages in your body and being still and just listening. Can you mention some ways, describe some ways that we can hear our inner voice that very well may be screaming at us, but mm-hmm. we're not able to sit and listen to it?
Well, yes, there's so many stimulants and diversions that surround us all. One of the quotes I have is, "Be still and let the beauty come."
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of that because one of the things I gave up this year was caffeine.
And wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I was really scared. I didn't know if I would be able to function in the world without it. Hmm. I really didn't. But I thought, what would it be like to let my body lead the way instead of my mind? Because for me, the caffeine was a side effect of my mind wanting to overpower my body.
Absolutely.
Meaning I wanted to keep going, and it kind of didn't matter what my body wanted to do.
Right, right.
And so I would, you know, I'd say, oh, I'm really dragging, but if I just have this one cup,
then I can do the next thing.
Then I can do the next thing, mm-hmm. and then I can collapse later. But then guess what? I wouldn't collapse later. I'd go on. I better work out now because there's no time to work out before I leave, you know, whatever. That whole chain. And then before I knew it, I was, you know, having a whole stress reaction pattern from built up not resting enough.
And maxing out the adrenaline system.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So it is still scary, though, I will say, because there are times where you need to do tasks or respond to someone and you really are tired, and we don't have a society that honors the body. I mean, people aren't allowed or excused to leave meetings because they need to just lie down for a few minutes.
Mm.
I mean, wouldn't it be intelligent if we did that?
What a concept.
Yeah.
In your book and in all of your other books as well, you have these great just tips for things. Look in the mirror and smile. Or color your bed sheets with I love you.
Mm-hmm.
These great little inspirational tips that you can do for 2 seconds that make you feel really, really good. And so in your mind or wherever you come up with these great ideas, what would you do for somebody who is experiencing stress in their life and they're having a hard time calming down? What are some really fun, playful tips that you can suggest?
Well, I would, you know, there's a whole system. I mean, that's why my books are full of suggestions. I mean, I always mm-hmm. say, try this.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I'm adverse to the word tips. I don't know why.
Okay.
No, I just have... Isn't it funny?
No, yeah. I completely know what you're talking about. There's 10 tips to everything. Yeah. So what do you want to call them? That's fine. What can we call them? We can call them...
Well, suggestions.
Suggestions.
Yeah.
Gems.
Ideas.
Inspirations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mirror work is a very powerful thing. I don't know if you read about that in Transformation Soup, but I was I did not want to try mirror work. And mirror work, for people that might not know, is basically just staring into the mirror And, well, you can either just stare into the mirror and see what you see,
mm-hmm.
which if you stare into a mirror for 5 minutes, you will see things that you didn't see when you first looked in the mirror. Because we posture. We put on a mask when we look in the mirror. We look in the mirror to put on our eyeliner or to look at a pimple or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just stare into a mirror at yourself, you will begin to see parts of your soul. And what usually happens to me is when I stare into the mirror, I cry or I laugh or I feel some amazing sense of myself. Well, so many things have happened. I mean, one time I turned into a hawk. I mean, I realized this is not exactly in the... Well, this is a suggestion for a bit of deeper work. For people, you asked me, for people who need to calm down.
Mm-hmm. I've done that before. Just sat and caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror, turned around, and looked.
Mm-hmm.
And
Any of the slower processes, I mean, really, it's been said a million times for thousands of years, and it always bears repeating, which is to sit and follow the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Do not take enough deep breaths, and people become frantic from lack of oxygen.
Yeah.
And it's one of the, it's one of the reasons they can't calm down.
That's true. I mean, if you think about where getting, just the process of getting into your car and starting it, do you breathe during that process?
No, most people don't.
No, I don't know if I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a pretty constant attention. I mean, that's the practice of meditation is basically following the breath.
Mm-hmm. And it's been the practice of it for hundreds of years. We've heard about it from hundreds
thousands.
Of days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. You say, it's kind of a very cool quote, you say, did you ever think that the reason we can't find a cure for the common cold is that the common cold is the cure?
Yes. Yes, that was actually not originated by me. I heard it.
Oh, it's great.
Isn't it great?
Oh, it's terrific, because what do? You sit and your body takes a break and it lays down.
Yes. Yes, and the tears come out, too, in the form of, well, let's just say it, mucus.
Interesting. Yeah, that's true. Mucus is your body's way of crying.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, that's a really good point. Sometimes we create these whatever things so we can just slow down, or the body creates it anyway, so it can just say, hey, I need a break.
Well, yes, and then we spend our time trying to, quote, get well, which is really, once again, another way of trying to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't like being sick, and so we want to get well.
In other words, you're not there already?
You're not there. You're mm-hmm. Well, you're not actually... You're supposed to get away from being sick as quickly as you can instead of staying sick as long as you're supposed to.
Very true. There's so many great things in your book. I want to get to this marrying yourself. I don't remember what book it was in, but you describe having a self-marriage ceremony, and if you can't become your own partner, then you really can't be a partner to someone else.
Yes.
What's a marriage ceremony?
Although, let's also say, I do think you can do that work. Some people are meant to do that particular work in partnership with another.
True.
And some people are meant to do more of that work in partnership with the self.
What's an example of doing it with yourself?
Oh, well,
give
first
me a
of
marriage
all, I'm having just the most marvelous romance with myself.
Hmm.
And I take myself out on dates, and I have fights with myself.
I know the feeling. I yelled at myself the other day for getting on the cell phone on an on-ramp. I'm like, self, what are you doing?
Yes.
Do you need to do that?
Yes. Oh, I know. We catch ourselves doing the most ridiculous things.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad. Well, that's why... I'm glad you're aware.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a whole discussion with myself. Is this necessary? Do you need to do this right?
Well, and let's just say, this is a little bit of a different subject, but it is going to be against the law to drive while talking. It's going to be a 400% increase of an accident.
It is actually illegal in some states.
Yes. And I'm telling you, it's going to be in every state.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I found myself looking around me once at a stop sign, and every single car was on the phone.
A person came to my book signing last night, and as he stood in line, and as he got to me, he was talking on his cell phone.
Oh, Lord.
And I said, I draw the line at this. I said, hand me the phone. And I said, hello. he is now having a book signed. He can no longer talk to you. He will call you back. Thank you. Goodbye. Close the cell phone and hand it back.
Yeah, it is getting out of control. I definitely admit that.
But it's kind of wonderful, too.
Yeah, in a sense. Ooh, it's
I love the messiness of it. People hate them and people love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are convenient little suckers.
Mm-hmm.
Another chapter in your book is entitled Stupid, Lonely, Broke.
Oh, yes.
These are very, very charged words. And
yes.
Once again, you put them in a very light, wonderful way that allows you to feel some sense of amusement when you're looking at those words.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yeah, because let's take things out of the, you know, exactly what we were saying earlier. I mean, yes.
Take things out of the context of what the heaviness of them means.
Yes, and, you know, the repetitive, you know, in some way we all live in fear of being stupid, lonely, or broke, or all three.
Mm-hmm.
And we live with that and an undercurrent all the time. And it's just liberating to put those words on a page, I must say.
It was. The actual title caught my eye, and I thought, oh, that's brave.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain relationship each one of those words I have with, and you did too, and you explained those words.
Yeah, I have a wonderful, of course, family of choice that, you know, as opposed to a family of origin, that surrounds me, wonderful, close people. And we have a joke that we do with each other, which is to call each other stupid at certain opportune moments. Well, let me see if I can explain it. So, Lisa, you would say something, and I would say, well, Lisa, that's just because you're stupid. And I can't tell you the freedom that it gives you, because it makes it...
Nice.
Like, it shakes it all up. Like, well, you never call someone stupid, and you never even think they're stupid, and you're never, ever stupid. And the word has so much of a charge because of what it's been endowed with.
Of course, and how many times were you, or was I, called stupid as a child?
Right.
Yeah.
And so what if it is done with love and very, very humorously and lightly? I mean, you have to be careful. You have to do it at the right moment.
Well, or not. I mean, we were talking about this fine line between laughter and pain.
Yes.
I mean, in my meditation classes, literally, somebody is cracking a joke every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the jokes are bad. I mean, they're really bad. So you can't help but laugh at the pitiful joke that's being told. But sometimes when you sit in that space of meditation and you start to get involved with your pain and whatever's about to release,
mm-hmm.
it can get really, really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And the jokes will turn off about any newcomer. They go, are you people crazy? And then we laugh even harder, which is even worse. But when you start to get what that does, when you start to see the energy start to change with the laughter and the vibration shift and
yes.
the stuff start to fall off of you,
yes.
and you don't care.
In fact, you remind me, I had an argument with a waitress in a restaurant the other day, and it was pretty bad. I mean, I won't go into the details, but it was pretty bad. And at one point, she said something to me very confrontational, and I heard myself say, well, you started it.
Oh.
And then I caught myself, and I laughed, and I said, well, come on, we both started it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and I realized that we were caught in a power struggle and that someone had to change the energy.
Something,
and that's
like
exactly what it did, because as soon as I did that, I laughed. She didn't eventually see the humor, but I ended up thinking it was very funny.
It's like what a little kid would say.
Exactly. Well, you started it.
She did it. Right. I used to say that as a child. Danny did it. It's
yeah.
my brother's name. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, you list some great things in your book about healing things to try, and I love the way you suggest things. You know,
oh, good.
Paying bills with brightly colored pens, and I want to get into some of those tips. Well, what do you call them? Suggestions. Sorry.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, I'm learning. I've been speaking with inspirational author Sark, the author of her newest book, Transformation Soup, and many other books that combine her whimsical drawings and empowering insight. Welcome back to Aware. I'm Lisa Garr, and you're listening to KPFK. I've been speaking with inspirational author Sark. She's the author of Inspiration Sandwich and Succulent Wild Woman and her latest book, Transformation Soup. And now, Sark, in your book, you list these great healing things to try. And this is one of the most beautiful parts about all of your books, is that you mention these great... One of the things that stuck out in my mind, and I don't remember which book it was... If you're in a relationship and you want to do something really wonderful for your partner, to take a sheet and write, I love you, on the sheet, or a message that you want them to read.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea.
And it works equally well, of course, for self-love.
For yourself, uh-huh.
I mean, write yourself a love letter on a sheet in really big letters and then sleep under it, and I... tell you, it will change you.
There are so many dream experts we've had on the show that say the last thing you look at and the first thing you look at when you wake up in the morning will affect your entire day.
Mm-hmm.
And I automatically looked around my room and went, mirrors. Interesting. Scary.
I immediately thought, Jupiter, my cat.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, healing things to try. Call yourself on voicemail and thank yourself for something you did, and then save the message and listen to it later when you've almost forgotten that you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great idea because, you know, how many times do you save the voicemail messages too?
Yes. Well, and then people tell me, oh, I do leave myself reminders. I said, but do you speak in a lovely voice of affirmation and love? And they're like, oh, no.
Wow.
I'm like, well, try it that way. Like, speak to yourself like the wise and nurturing parent that you wish you might have had. I do. I call myself. I say, you're doing such a good job. You're really taking good care.
That's so powerful.
You're learning so much. Yeah, and it almost becomes like another reality. I mean, when I hear the voice, it doesn't even sound like me.
Oh, and that's important too, because there's not a lot of other people in your life. No matter how much they may love you, they might be stuck in their own stuff and not validating you.
Right,
you got to seek your own validation.
Yes, and create it.
When you turn your bed or couch into a nap hut with a fabric roof and supplies inside, that's kind of fun.
Yes, and did you like that story? I love that story in the book about the woman who made a giant egg out of fabric. With a zipper.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes inside of it and zips it shut. She goes in there when she needs to heal from something.
Uh-huh. I also love the story about you when you went on that cruise and you wanted to pop a cruise tent.
Oh, yeah, the cruise camping.
On the balcony.
Yeah, when I was scared to go with my mother and brother and share a small stateroom for a week. And so I was bringing the tent.
Uh-huh.
And I was calling the cruise line to have them measure the size of the balcony so that to make sure the tent would fit.
Now, what? That's great. That's completely ridiculously great.
Yeah, and then at the last minute I decided that the tent was too heavy and bulky and that I would be fine, and how small could a stateroom be after all?
Pretty
small.
Well,
I saw the stateroom, and I started hyperventilating.
Right.
There was no division between the beds. It was just, and everything was so close together. And I thought, I cannot do this. I literally flipped out.
And you made this story of the fact that you did that whole first night, completely lost it.
Oh, my brother and mother left to go to the buffet. I hate buffets. And so they said, we'll meet you at the buffet. And my brother could tell how upset I was. And I flung myself on the bed crying. And then I called the purser, because I remember from Love Boat that if you needed something, the purser always knew.
Uh-huh.
I'd never been on a cruise. And I called up and I said, I need to get another room. I need a room. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. The cruise is completely sold out. And
just what she wanted to hear.
And just as she was saying this, I looked, and they were flinging these lines off on the dock, and the ship was moving away from the dock.
Mm-hmm.
There was no escape.
You got to look at it.
I had to sit in it, and I went up to that buffet, and my mother was pointing with her cane at the different things she wanted.
Uh-huh.
And I was starving, and my blood sugar was low, and I was already starting to feel dehydrated and seasick. I'm laughing now, but...
No, right. And then what happened?
And then I was so beaten down. I'd been traveling for 12 hours. I was so beaten down that I just got in my little bed, which was a fold-out couch next to these sliding doors. I opened the sliding doors. The sea air came in, and things were gently rocking. And I fell asleep, and I slept for 11 hours. And when I woke up, all I saw was blue water. I felt completely restored and healed, and I never had another problem the entire cruise.
Wow. Yeah, that's a perfect example of just letting yourself feel it and then letting it go.
Yes.
Rather than holding on to it.
And my mother said, you know, after a week with my brother and I, she said she had to go home to Minnesota to recover from laughing so hard.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. You also, there's another great healing thing to try, a God box. This is cute.
Oh, God box, yes.
God box is great.
I first heard about that from Annie Lamott, the author Annie Lamott, and I immediately said, well, that's nice for her, but it won't work for me.
You know?
We so often do that. Like, we look in on someone's life, and then we say, yes, they can do it, but we won't be able to do it. And I had read about her God box and thought, well, what would it be like to make a box where I would put messages in for God?
It's like a God mailbox.
Yeah, a God mailbox, which has a pickup every second.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so I found a cigar box that just happened to say heaven on it.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I began writing little notes and putting them in there, and I am telling you, it's powerful.
The prayers starting to, or your little notes started to get answered? Or?
Oh, yes. And things began to happen. And it's a transformative thing that isn't logical.
I think that's great. It's even a great thing for kids to do.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good point.
Because it's fun and it's playful and it doesn't put all that seriousness around God, and you
mm-hmm.
make him your friend. And yeah, that's a really great idea. You even said that you started putting other people's problems in there and requests from other people. And
yes.
And they would be answered as well.
Yes. And I love being able to say to someone, you know, if they call and they're having a challenge and a problem, I say, I will pray for you, and I will also put a note in my God box.
It really works. I mean, we've had people like Larry Dossey on the show talk about the biological effects of prayer
mm-hmm.
and how it energetically, on a biofeedback level, works.
Oh, I know. One
it's
day,
awesome.
One day there will not even be this kind of discussion about whether it works or not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, it's so obvious why it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to study it and test it because people can't comprehend it.
Right. You have another really great book. I mean, not book, a letter. You wrote this little note that you, what did you say? I know that a friend of mine took a copy of this and put it on the refrigerator. It says, "Good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help. So have a good time. I love you."
Oh, yes. I know, that's been going around. I guess my friend found it on the wall.
That is so great.
Breakfast, yeah. Isn't it wonderful? I keep it in my work folder.
I love that.
Yes.
That's just a neat thing to put on a cover of a notebook or a refrigerator or
yes.
something that you look at
yes.
every day in the colorful words and so forth. Let's see here. Other healing things to try. Stop making your bed and admire the landscape of a sheet. That's
so
fun.
The landscape of sheets, yes.
That's very fun. Start a movement in your neighborhood to meet each other.
Yes, you know, we live in neighborhoods and often we don't know the other people.
Yeah,
and
right. How often
people
do we
would love, almost everyone loves an invitation. One, of course, that they're free to decline. But the point is, what would it be? We had this idea. We haven't implemented it yet, but what would it be like to start a Saturday, meet other people at a certain time, and just say, come out on your porch or front steps at noon,
mm-hmm.
anyone who wants to meet someone.
Especially if you live in like a condo area
yeah.
or, you know, apartment complex.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a
and
great
I,
idea.
And I assure you that there are angels living near you.
Yeah.
There are angels in human form, and they're living near you.
It's always good to know those, you know, the people who live near you anyway.
Oh, yes. And if you look, you know, I used to have so many issues with, well, let me put it this way. I remember one time coming into therapy and saying, and the neighbor did this, and this neighbor over there did
mm-hmm.
that. And he just calmly said, I wonder why you're having so many problems with your neighbors. And I remember thinking, well, does it have anything to do with me? I don't think so. I'm a perfect neighbor.
They're the
and
ones.
And of course
yeah.
I realized what was I doing? I was intensely speaking to people, you know, like speaking to them in a very intense tone of voice. And, you know, I would appreciate it if you, you know.
Oh, uh-huh.
I mean, people were having reactions to me, and then I was reacting to them. And since then, I've done a lot of, you know, cleanup of my behavior and attitudes, and I love my neighbors now.
It's a good way of looking at yourself, too. There's neighbors also go along with networking, and you have a great message board on your website, the campsark.com website, which
is
so whimsical and fun.
I know, don't we have a good website?
Oh, I love your website. Mm-hmm. It's so playful.
Mm-hmm.
Artwork is great on there. And this message board is where people can share their inspiring stories and healings and helpful healing hints or whatever it is that they're going through.
And meet each other.
Mm-hmm. Other Sark fans in their neighborhood or something, which is really neat. You have a lot of great things that you're involved with, just projects that you're involved with. Your gift collection is really neat because it's all of this artwork put on stationery or posters. Some of your posters are great.
Thank you.
I
posters,
love them.
Cards, stationery. Yeah, I really want to only make things that inspire creative living. So
mm-hmm.
That's the process we use to decide whether. I have two wonderful business partners, and we all collaborate on what we want to make. And for instance, we just made these wonderful tote bags because, of course, I believe in saving bags. You know, we use too many bags.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, you know, let's put wonderful pieces of art on these really well-made tote bags and use them for years.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea to carry stuff like that around because the posters, you know, they sit on your wall and they're a reminder, but you can carry stuff around. The Being a Succulent Wild Woman poster, it's just these great little phrases in these little bubbles. Eat mangoes naked. Lick the juice off your arms. Make more mistakes. Celebrate your gorgeous friendships with women. And this is, you know, this is also for men, too. Discover your own goodness. Be delicious.
Oh, yes. I want to interrupt you for just a minute. The books are so very definitely for men.
Yeah, I want you to tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's funny because I always have men. I just had men come last night to my event, and they said they got scared because they saw more women than they're used to seeing in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were hiding out in the corners and in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's luckily starting to change. More and more men are coming to the world of Sark. But I just want to make a very clear statement that men are very welcome in the land of succulent wild women, and we need them, and we want them.
Yeah, that's important. Well, especially your book, Inspiration Sandwich. I mean, it talks about any, you know, stories that inspire creative freedom.
Yes.
So everybody has.
Yes, in fact, my only gender-specific book was Succulent Wild Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then I put on the back, men are welcome in the land of succulent wild women.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on to write the Bodacious Book of Succulents, largely because I wanted to include those succulent wild men. So I did a whole section called Succulent Wild Men, and I do portraits of all of my favorite succulent wild men.
We're just throwing around this word succulent. Like, I mean, obviously you've said it a million times, and I've read it a million times. What does succulent mean?
Oh, yes. Well, ripe, juicy,
mm-hmm.
Really alive, really, is what it means to me. I mean, a succulent is a plant that gets its moisture from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It saves its moisture, and it doesn't need the outside to get what it needs.
That's true. It's very self-sufficient, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They live in the desert in extreme situations, and they still blossom.
Yeah, and I love the sound of the word succulent.
I love it. Great sound. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, and I want to give out your information for... I forgot to talk about the inspiration line.
Oh, yes. Let's say the inspiration line is 24 hours. It's recorded by me. It's about 5 minutes. I often sing, and I talk about the things I'm working on, and there's quotes, and that's actually downloaded onto our website, too. So the inspiration line is 24 hours, 415-546-3742, and if you like words, it's 546 EPIC, EPIC.
Oh, is that what it spells?
Mm-hmm.
What's a common example of something that you put on the inspiration line?
Oh, gosh. I just sang the Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Uh-huh.
That's the one that's on there right now. And I send people things every time, imaginary things, but word pictures of healing things. So some people just call, and they're very surprised that they start to cry.
Huh.
Because it's touching. I don't know if you've heard it, but...
I remember listening to it a long time ago. It was about a year or so ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but it was. It was really neat to hear your voice, too.
Well, if you call soon, you'll get a double exposure because I'm just about to change the message.
Excellent. Oh, good. Okay. Well, the phone number to call for Camp Sark is area code 415-397-SARK.
Yeah, or 397-7275.
Or you can visit the website www.campsark.com. Thank you so much for inspiring so many people.
Oh, thank you.
And for being so alive. I appreciate you.
And splendidly imperfect.
Exactly. Thank you, Sark, for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.